Now, Phil Hendry, 1-800-449-8686.
All right, well, anyway, last hour we were talking about the possibility, just the possibility that President Bush is, I don't know, conducting this war against Iraq for reasons that are personal. And we're taking your calls about that and other things. 1-800-449-8686. Let's go to going to Austin, Texas. Vernon, hi, you're on the Phil Hendry Show. Are we in the middle of the traffic there?
I'm not in the middle of traffic. Hello?
Yes, Vernon, go ahead.
Yeah, Phil, we're enjoying your program here in Austin. I wanted to respond to what you were talking about President Bush.
Go ahead.
I think that the guy is definitely trying to make his daddy happy. I think it all goes back to the Gulf War when his father was not capable or able or allowed, I guess they're trying to say, but I think it has more to do with capability anyway get...
Well, the point you're trying to make is that Bush did not get Hussein out of Baghdad. Why?
I think Bush did not get Hussein out of Baghdad because he wasn't able to.
All right, now how does that relate to Bush Jr.?
Well, I think it relates to Bush Jr. in a pretty obvious way. I think the boy is trying to get his father's approval, and I think that I think it's pretty pathetic when a president of the United States, a man who is, is the leader of the free world, needs his daddy. I mean...
You think that the president of the United States, President Bush, this one, wants the approval of his father? This is a war that we're conducting for... There's a variety of reasons.
No, you have to hear me out, because I'm not saying there isn't a good reason to go to war against Iraq, but I think... Much of it's motivated
by his need to please his father.
By his need to please his father, yes, sir. Much of it's motivated by his need to get the love and approval of his father. And if you haven't been there, you may not know what I'm talking about. Because I think it's pathetic when the foreign policy of a nation.
What do you mean haven't been there? You mean me needing the love of my father? I've needed the love of my father. I don't know whether I had it, but I needed it. I think every son does.
Okay, well, I think it's pretty pathetic when a foreign policy of a nation rests with a guy's dad, and he can't get, his daddy's love.
All right, well, you're a little bit embittered. Why?
I'm sorry?
You're embittered. Why?
You say I sound what?
You sound bitter. Why?
No, I'm not bitter, but I do know what I'm talking about. My father, I don't have that problem with my own father.
All right, well, that's nice. But why are you bitter?
Well, I'm bitter because I got over the problem that I have. My father didn't love me. My father was a drinker. My father didn't take care of our family. My father didn't do a lot of things. I have decided that I will not do what my father did, unlike President Bush, who wants to make his daddy happy.
Well, you're saying daddy like there's something personal going on.
I'm just saying that I know what it's like. My father beat my mother. My father drank too much. My father failed at business.
Are you trying to make up for that?
I'm not doing what my father did. I have a successful business. I do not beat my wife. I do not drink too much. So, no, I'm not doing what George Bush does. George Bush is repeating the mistakes of his father because he wants to have his daddy feel good about him.
All right, so George Bush is doing what he's doing because he wants his daddy... I think it's a little simplistic. I don't agree.
Well, let me tell you something, Mr. Hendry. Today, I am so intent on doing the right thing in my life and not redoing what my father did that I will not do anything my father did.
I know you mentioned that.
Including not having children. Did I mention that?
Because your father had you?
Because my father had me and my sister. I've decided, because I can't stand that piece of you-know-what, that I won't even have kids. And my wife desperately wants children. She desperately wants children. Her biological clock is ticking, and there isn't a week or a night that goes by that she doesn't mention how she wants children. And I have told her that she is not going to have children so long as my father lives. And once he dies, then we can talk about it. But as long as my father lives, I will not give him the pleasure.
Boy, you really hate your dad, don't you?
No, it's a healthy disrespect, Mr. Hendry. Boy, born of the mistakes that he made. And I wish George Jr. had the same healthy disrespect for his own father.
Well, look at it. What is George Jr. supposed to look at George Sr. and say? Is he supposed to say, you know what, you really screwed that Iraq thing up. I'm not going over to Iraq.
Yeah, that's part of that, yeah. Because his daddy got involved in Iraq, messed it up. Why should the son do the same thing?
Well, it's a foreign policy question. It's got nothing to do with whether there is one man or another man who's trying. This has got nothing to. I disagree with. It's got nothing to do with these two men and their relationship. It has to do with a foreign policy issue that was not.
Let me ask you. If any other Republican was in there right now, I mean any other Republican, I mean if it was Dole, if it was anybody, do you think they'd be wasting this country's time trying to get this guy out? I don't think that this president.
I don't know how to answer that question. Yeah, maybe they would.
I don't think that this. How do you know that?
Huh?
How do you know maybe they would?
Well, how do you know maybe they wouldn't?
Because I don't think George Jr. has the guts to do anything different from his dad.
You know, you say daddy and dada, it betrays an anger.
All right, I'm angry. I'm angry at my own father and what he did. And
all right, well then, why do you got to get down on President Bush?
Because I can see him making the mistakes that I could have made.
I think your issue is with your own father.
Oh, you know, Mr. Henry, don't get psychological.
No, your issue is with your father. You say that your dad beat your mother and that he failed at business. And where do you work, sir?
I work at the Kroger loading dock right now. I'm getting the truck ready.
Yeah, because I can hear trucks backing up behind you.
This is the only place I can talk. I'm sorry, I'm on a coffee break.
Were you listening to our show?
Yes, I was. I had an earpiece in and everything, and I'm on a coffee break.
All right, well, getting back to what we're talking about, President Bush may have an issue about his father. He may not. I personally, and I'm not saying I agree with whether we ought to go to Iraq or not. I personally think we should, but this does not color my opinion. He may or not may not be right about going to Iraq, but I do not believe that it's motivated by any need to prove something to his father. I think it's motivated mostly by a need, a foreign policy need to control terrorism.
That is such the party line, though, Phil. I mean, he's dragging 250 million Americans in his healing process with da-da.
Jesus, man, you really... I just heard the way you said that.
The way I said what?
Da-da.
Because that's exactly what it is. And I will never be tied to the apron strings of my papa. And I will never be tied to the apron strings of my nana. The way George Bush Jr. is. He's tied to his mama.
You're really pissed at the guy. Are you a Democrat?
I'm sorry?
Are you a Democrat?
No, sir. I'm a Republican. But I am very disappointed in the lack of manhood being shown by President George Bush Jr. And I'll say it again, and you can laugh if you want to. I think he's tied to his dad-da.
Well?
I really honestly do. I really honestly do. And if the president were really honest with the American people, he wouldn't speak of the former George Bush as an ex-president. He'd just say, I was on the phone to my papa last night, and he was telling me a few things.
Really?
Yes. I know you think it's funny, but I think we've got a lot of lives at stake here, Phil.
No, I know there's a lot of lives at stake. I don't think it's funny. I think you're the way you refer to the way the president.
I really don't mean to be funny, Phil. I really want the American people to hear me. President George Bush Jr. is going to drag a lot of men into their death because he's trying to prove something to his parents, whether it's to prove his manhood to his men. Mommy.
Uh-huh.
Or whether it's to prove something to his. Father, I really think it's important.
Thank you. Whew. Jesus. 1-800-449-8686. This is the Phil Henry Show, 1-800-449-8686. Don't forget our website, philhenryshow.com, philhendrieshow.com. We're taking advance orders for our Best Of CD, World Famous Phil Henry Show 2002, at 877-616-PHIL.
1-800-449-8686, the World Famous Phil Henry Show. Bill Henry Show is back. 1-800-449-8686.
What I'm saying is that you could be back. You could be on the air with me.
I'm okay.
We just had a couple of people call, and then I can let you go, all right?
All right.
And I'm sorry, we are back. This is the Phil Henry Show. And what is your name again? You're Vernon, right?
I'm Vernon Dozier, Phil.
What do you do for a living?
Yes, sir. I'm a little bit nervous.
That's okay. You're doing fine. What do you do for a living?
Yes, sir. I'm a high school football coach.
And you feel very strongly that George Bush Jr. is being a big, fat baby hanging on his...
I there's something about a man who has to wander around behind his father and tug at the back of his jacket getting approval that makes me want to... You know, I tell you, the way my father treated me and the way my father treated my mother, I will go to my death and you could bury me face down on an anthill. And I would take that before I allowed any part of my
dad
to influence me.
All right, you're saying some strong things about the president.
I understand.
1-800-449-8686. Here is Amy. Hi, Amy. Welcome to the Phil Henry Show.
Yes, I'm here.
Go ahead, dear. You're on the air.
Well, I really wanted to tell Vernon that I think he's wrong, and I think he's an idiot, and I think that he is bringing his emotions to the United States against our president. That I'm a Democrat, and I did not vote for Bush, but
all right.
He is our president, and he is destroying our collective wishes that our president take care of Iraq.
Well,
Iraq has terrorized us, and we really should. Amen.
That's an interesting comment, Amy. Vernon, how do you respond to that?
Well, Amy, my feeling is if George Bush Jr. didn't spend most of his time in the self-help section of Barnes & Noble looking for heal the dada within books, we may not be on the brink of war. I mean, I
had to get Mama to change Georgie's dirty, smelly diaper.
Oh, you're really belittling the president.
Well, Amy, don't you agree
with
that?
And I'm not really going to participate in it, but thank you all.
Well, all right, ma'am, but just remember... when the president goes, boom, somebody has to clean it up.
Here is Andrew on the Phil Henry Show. Hello.
Hello.
Andrew, hi. Welcome to the show.
Hey, I just wanted to say that there's this guy right here, too much emotion, not enough knowledge. We can't forget that during the first Persian Gulf War, there was an assassination request put out on Bush Sr. by Saddam Hussein.
I understand.
Now this younger one comes in. I think he wants to defend his death. I think he's a little pissed off. And yeah, he's on a hair trigger right now. He's looking to have Saddam Hussein blow his nose the wrong way so he can send in all our M1s over there.
Well, but I think the guy, you know, so somebody, that's like me saying, hey, Andrew, your father wears army boots. What, do you want to come over and punch me out? I mean, let it go.
What do you mean, let it go? It was the assassination attempt of a United States president.
Get over it. Just get over it.
Hey, Howie.
Huh?
Hey, Howie.
1-800-449-8686. So there it is. Here is Brad. Go ahead, Brad.
Hey, Bill.
How you doing?
I kind of agree with Vernon here a little bit.
Thank you.
I believe George Jr. is just doing a job that his daddy couldn't finish. For example, we knew.
Well, wait, but I don't want him to finish the job. I don't want him to finish the job. George wants his papa to see him ride the big bike with two wheels.
Oh, I believe that might be part of it. Like, hey, Dad, look at me. I can do the job.
Exactly.
I believe that's exactly what it is.
Hey, Daddy, look at me. I'm on the big bike with the two wheels, not the training wheel. Jesus.
Exactly.
Jesus,
I'm a big man now. I'm where you are. I can do it better than you can do it.
Wait a minute, you guys. Are you trying to tell me that the President of the United States would put 250 million Americans on the brink of perhaps
global war? Look at all
that's
that.
Right.
We don't talk about Gaddafi. We don't talk about Castro.
Right.
All we talk about is Hussein.
If morning, noon, and night.
If he finished the job,
wouldn't
have to do it.
Morning, noon, and night. All I ever hear about is Saddam Hussein because George Bush is in the White House, and he called up and he said,
Daddy, I could go get Hussein.
What is it with you, man?
And I'm sorry that I have to be sarcastic.
Sarcastic doesn't even begin to describe what you're being. You're being insultful, insightful. You're being rude to a president.
Oh, well.
Papa, watch me. I go poo and bowl.
That's exactly what he's doing.
Is that right?
That's right.
I go poo and bowl, not in panty,
oh, shut up. Good Lord. I think that if you take a look at what the president's doing, okay, with all due...
I want my pee-pee clean.
Would you get him off the air? (laughs) 1-800-449-8686. Thank you very much, Mr. Dozier, with your attitude there about why we're going to war. I don't know why we're going to war, but I will tell you one thing. It ought to be good for business, like our Phil Henry Best of the Year 2002 CD, World Famous. I think it's one of the finest CDs we've ever done, and I think that...
Laura, show me her flower.
Will you shut him off? Shut the hole! I think it's the best of CD we've ever done. The Best of the Year 2002 contains some of the greatest comedy ever perpetrated on the history of man, in the history of mankind, and on the history of mankind, and on mankind. It is classic, it's colossal, and it's yours for only $20, and we got a double CD coming up this year, and it's available on our website. All you have to do is go to... All you have to do is go to philhenryshow.com.
Smell my finger!
Okay, if I hear him one more time... There's gonna be murder. There's gonna be cold-blooded murder. Smell my finger. Go to our website, philhenryshow.com. P-H-I-L-H-E-N-D-R-I-E. What am I spelling out here? Man, I forget how to spell my own name. I think it's F-I-L-H-E-N-R-Y, isn't it? Phil Henry. Or is it Bill Henry? It's Phil Henry. Our website, P-H-I-L-H-E-N-D-R-I-E, show.com. Pick up the Best of the Phil Henry Show CD for you and your loved ones. And also go to our souvenir shop, the J. Santo Citizens Auxiliary Police T-shirt, black and silver. Comes in men's sizes, small through double extra large. Ted's Beverly Hills bowling shirt, small through double extra large. Comes in a royal blue and black. That's a beautiful thing, and we deliver within 2 to 4 weeks. So Christmas is right around the corner. Why not get ready for it with the Phil Henry Show souvenir shop? And, you know, you can help out the Phil Henry fan in your house. All right, 1-800-449-8686. Well, that was a very interesting point of view there from that caller and the many calls that we've had concerning President Bush's motives in going to war with Iraq. I'm going to tell you this much. This is truly how I feel, as supportive as I have been. I think he has to make with whatever he's got, because he ain't been coming through with this proof thing he's talking about, right? I mean, he's got to come. You've been doing it so far very good, Mr. President. Very good. But I think you have to come clean with the goods. I think you got to show us exactly what you have.
I make stinky.
Well, you told me to show you what I have.
Okay. I think he's got to show us exactly what he's got. Show us the goods. Where are the bombs? Where are the biological warheads? Where are the canisters filled with anthrax? Where are the warheads? Where is it? What island? What town? What presidential palace? Show us, and we'll go. We'll head in. We'll
change my diaper.
Shut up. We'll change his diaper. I mean, we'll go and go to war. Is what I mean. Phil Henry Show, 1-800-449-8686.
1-800-449-8686. The world famous Phil Henry Show.
Talking to Father James McWhorter. Is Father McWhorter, you're a Roman Catholic priest, so this might be a loaded question. Is Islam, is the Islamic faith, is it an evil faith?
Phil, I think it is. I've spent a number of years in Catholic missions, both in Northern Africa and in the Middle East. And there's no doubt in my mind that the Islamic faith is an evil manifestation. I think there are many misguided people in the Islamic faith, but I think it's an evil manifestation of a misguided prophet that they call the Prophet Muhammad. And I think it takes the good intentions of people, and I think it twists them and turns them into something very, very evil. And I think that the Islamic people are members of a gutter religion. And it pains me to say that...
Would you say a gutter religion?
It pains me to say that I think it's a violent religion. This is the reason why we say that Catholicism is the one true faith. And if I would be allowed a moment...
Now, again, I didn't want you to come on the program to promote or degrade any individual religion, although I did ask you your opinion of Islam.
But if I could have a moment, Phil, Catholicism is the one true faith. That is my belief. As a Roman Catholic priest, and as the representative of Jesus here on earth, and that the Muslim faith is a false faith because it worships a false idol. Islam, I believe, has picked up where the Protestants left off. And there's nothing the Catholics have ever done that compares to what the Muslims are doing now. This allows people to see the real difference between the Christian faith and Muslim faith. And I think the Muslim faith is going to show itself to be a very depraved faith, and one that cannot bring itself back.
All right, well, then that's going to lead me to ask the obvious question.
I don't know when you say the obvious question.
Well, the obvious question is, what about the molestations of the priests?
Oh, Jesus Christ. You know, you people in the media...
Father, I got to get into it.
No, but you people in the media are like a broken record with this. For Christ's sake, the fact of the matter is that the victims of molestation have forgiven the priests...
No, but wait a minute. You made the statement that there's nothing that the Muslims are doing now... That there's nothing the Catholics have ever done that compares to what the Muslims are doing now.
What I said to you, Phil, is yes, and I believe that.
You believe that?
Yes, I do.
Even though the priests have been involved in these molestations.
Phil, again, I'm saying that the media in this country is like, it's like a, if you'll forgive me, because before I was a priest, I had a very good friend who used to say of people that complained, he said, you're like a broad that's been thrown out of bed. And the media in America is like a broad that's been thrown out of bed. You're crying about something that you can't do anything about. And I am a celibate man, but were I a man who engaged in the pleasures of the flesh, I can well imagine some woman some evening, someone who I took home, someone who I might have loved, because I'd had a nip of the elderberry wine, and in the morning I wake up and I see her face, and I can't get out of the house fast enough. Or I'm looking for a justice of the peace. But I can tell you this. If I throw her out of bed, what do you think she's going to say? She's going to say...
I think as a priest, it's the worst comparison you could possibly make.
She's going... allow me. She's going to say... She's going to cry and she's going to say, you promised. You promised. And I'll tell you this much. The media in America is the only people who are keeping this molestation thing alive...
You know what? The more you say that that the media in America is what's really keeping the molestation thing alive, the more phony baloney a lot of the things the Catholic Church says, a lot of the things that they say looks.
Phil, the people who are...
No, wait a minute. What about the media? What about the media in Boston?
What about the media in Boston?
What about the fact that the Boston Archdiocese is about ready to go bankrupt?
You had me come on your program to talk to you about the Islamic faith. And about the gutter violence of the Islamic faith. And there's nothing that a Catholic priest had ever done to any child which can compare to the incineration of 3,000 people by using an airplane. 4 aircraft thrown into a building. And you bring me on your program and you use ambush journalism.
I'm not using any.
You use ambush journalism and then you start to whine like some broad that's been thrown out of bed. And I can tell you...
Boy, this is a real great comparison. Why don't you just start talking about, like, some kid that won't pull his pants down?
You know something? If I was standing there in front of you now, Phil, and God forgive me, and Jesus Christ himself, please forgive me. If I had a knife, I would plunge it right into your abdomen for what you just said.
You would, huh?
Yes, I would.
You're a Catholic priest.
Yes, I would. Yes, I would. I'm a Catholic priest. But I'm also ordered, and I'm also charged... and brought before the bar of the Catholic faith to protect the Catholic faith against all infidels.
So if you had a knife, you'd plunge it into me?
Yes, I would, for the things that you just said. That you talk about the molesting priests. And you said something that pissed me off, but I can't remember what it was. But I would stab you for it.
I don't think the American people have forgiven the priests anything.
Phil.
Allow me to finish now, Father. I don't think the American people have forgiven Catholic priests anything. And you people in the media, huh? Here we go again with that. You talk about a broken record. You guys sound like a broken record. I'm not keeping anything. The Boston Archdiocese is going to go bankrupt because they can't pay out the enormous millions that they owe to people who have been victimized by priests molesting children.
As I said, Phil, if I was standing in front of you...
You take a knife and plunge it into me.
What do you got to stir the pot for? You know, you've had a hard-on for us for a long time. I'll tell you something else, too. You want to keep breaking my balls or keep breaking the castanets there at the Archdiocese in Boston and Cardinal Law, who has been doing the very best that he can to try to settle these claims. Now, what do you want to do? Do you want to try to milk a rock, or do you want some real spending cash? And what they're trying to do is they're trying to work out a settlement that will satisfy these people who claim they've been molested. And
who claim they've been molested? Here we go.
We have no input. There has never been any kind of accounting. There has never been any kind of a trial.
No. There's never been a trial because the Catholic Church is stepping forward there in Boston and saying, well, let's start paying it off. Let's start just paying it off, man. It's almost like it's like paying for sex.
You filthy, filthy animal to say something like that.
Well, you know what it is? It is. It's paying them off. Hey, look, here's a couple of bucks. Shut up. Go away. We won't go to trial. Here's a couple of bucks.
You're a filthy, filthy animal, and you're like a boil filled with pus on the body of God. For you to say...
You know, your stuff doesn't bother me, okay? I saw a priest with all that Latin. It doesn't bother me.
For you to say that the Catholic Archdiocese of Boston, with the Archbishop Cardinal Law, one of my best friends in the world, for you to say that, you are like a boil full of pus that should be popped and should be cleansed for the things that you're saying.
Are you trying to make me and all of my listeners sick?
You're the one who's been talking about molestation.
You're the cats that brought it up in the first place. You're the guys that started it. You're the guys that continued it, and you're the guys that are paying off. Paying off like a slot machine now until there's no money left. There's no money left.
Do you want to say a confession?
Why would I want to say my confession?
For the filth and the sin you've committed.
What did I do?
The filth and sin of insulting the Catholic faith. God damn. You know what that was?
I don't care what it was.
No, really, you got to know. It was a Bonschwager sandwich with wheat bread.
Okay. Jesus H. Rune Arledge just croaked. You see this? They're showing all these really cool... I shouldn't say that. I don't know. I'm looking at Fox News Channel, and I don't know. 1-800-449-8686. Anyway, that was Father James McCorter talking about Islam. And he says it's a gutter, violent religion, and there is nothing the Catholic Church has ever done that would compare to the violence that they've committed. And he has further said that if he had a knife, he'd stab me for the things I said about the Yes? About the Archdiocese of Boston. 1-800-449-8686, Phil Henry Show.
1-800-449-8686, the world famous Phil Henry Show.
And now more on the Phil Henry Show.
Hey, by the way, the news, United Airlines is going to file chapter whatever they call it in if they don't get bailed out. And I'll tell you right now, I saw this coming 6, 8, 9, 12 months ago when I flew on United Airlines, and it couldn't have been more unpleasant. Why, the flight attendants couldn't have cared less. They just kept staring out the window wistfully, knowing that someday their job would be done. And their seats were not clean, and their toilets smelled like someone had just dropped a green load in there and walked out just straightening their tie. And their service was lousy, And I, you know, I don't like to see anybody lose their job, but sometimes you deserve to. And United Airlines, nice going, baby. You know, right after September the 11th, a lot of people were in trouble. A lot of businesses were in trouble. A lot of industries had a lot of things to worry about. American Airlines took a big hit on September the 11th. I've flown American since then. Fantastic airline in every way, shape, and form. From the service on the plane, to the planes that you fly in, to the routes, to the attitude of the people. American, top-notch. United, you guys blew it. I ain't kidding you. We were flying, I think it was to Vegas for one of our personal appearances up there. We flew up on United. It couldn't have been Vegas. It had to be somewhere further away. I think it was New York when we went to New York on September the 11th. It was so lousy that we canceled our return leg and flew back on American. That's how bad it was. You know that I've never done that before in my life? In my life, I have never canceled a second leg of a trip with an airline to go to another airline because the first airline blew so heartily and so effervescently that I wanted no more to do with them, their plane, or their company. And it was United Airlines. I got up to ask just a simple thing like, could I get some water, please? Sit down, sir. We're about to land. Well, you could have fooled me because you didn't make any announcement. Well, I'm about to make the announcement. Oh, okay. You're going to make the announcement now. Yeah. Sit down. And she looked pissed. And they all looked pissed. You know why they looked pissed? Because they knew they were going to be out of a job soon. That's why. Because they knew there was no saving that airline. It's a lousy airline. At one time, it might have been good. I don't know. I don't even remember. I flew United to Chicago once. Most of the time, I fly American. I fly the usual, you know, Air Bengal, Air India, the usual flights. I take the usual routes. I go to San Francisco by way of Bombay. And let me tell you something. My travel agent saves me a lot of money. Not a lot of time, but a lot of money. Because I can go to San Francisco for $99 if I don't mind stopping in Sri Lanka. So I take the usual air legs to get where I'm going. And, yeah, I just go via Budapest and you can get to Vegas. Let me tell you something. You can save a lot of money. Phil, I found out a really great flight for you, baby. And, what's that, Janine? Well, look, I can get you to Vegas for $10, but you stop in Bulgar, Virginia, you know, what? I can't even think of foreign countries anymore. I'm just so disgusted. It's 186 hours. You'll get there next Friday. You know, I'm trying to think of the capital of Bulgaria. What's wrong with, oh, Sofia. You'll stop in Sofia, Bulgaria. Why, I wonder why Bulgaria is so exotic. It's got a great sound to it. But anyway, I've flown them all, and I have never, ever canceled the second leg of a round trip before until I flew United Airlines. I think they were terrible. Terrible. The plane, let me tell you something. I got off a United flight, and I got on an American flight. Now, is this my imagination? And we were flown first class to New York because the company was picking it up. I got on a first class plane, American, flying LA to New York. It's got a footrest. It's got great ground service. It's got smiling flight attendants. I get a first class flight to New York from LA. It stunk in there. It was filthy. Nobody could have cared less about whether we needed a cocktail or a drink or anything until we got in the air. And I know they're going to say, well, you can't serve alcohol on the runway. Yeah, well, that's a load because I have been before, so don't give me that. And, you know, you got to ask, excuse me. And every time you say, excuse me, can I get a water here or something? They're looking like you're a pain in the ass. Now, I've said this before, and I'm going to say it again. I know that the whole pitch is we're here for your safety. I got news for you. When I'm putting out the kind of cheese that I'm putting out for a first-class ticket, even though I don't because it's paid for by the company, I'm getting a little something more than service. Or I'm getting a little something more than you saving my ass sliding down a rubber slide. I want a little service. I don't care. Because it is true what they say at the end of the flight. We know you have a choice in air carriers. Because we do. Anyway, I don't want to come on too strong. I don't know. Is this Elise? Hi.
Hi, Phil.
It's Elisa?
Yes, it's Elisa.
Are you? Did you work for United?
No. I lost a friend who was a flight attendant on United 175 on September 11th.
What has that got to do with what I'm talking about?
Well, I think that what you're, I think that
I'm not supposed to say that United is a bad company because
no, I'm not.
Thousands of people died on September the 11th.
No, I'm not saying that. You have every right.
Because
to your
I'm getting
opinion.
Very, I'm getting very defensive and scared here.
You have every right to your opinion, but there are other airlines that stink just as much as United does. And
well, they're not going out of business. Are they going bankrupt?
Not now, but you know,
well,
who knows.
You know,
who
so
knows?
There's a reason.
A couple months down the line.
There's a reason for these things in our world. United is going out of business. That's all I know. And they made headlines today, so that's why I'm talking about them.
Okay, but I feel
and
like
I know I've
know,
lost a friend in a plane crash. So you know, I can as soon as I think of one, I'll one up you on that.
You don't have to one up me on anything. And you know what you were talking
yeah,
about?
Yeah, I did. I lost a friend on that plane that flew out of New York and blew up.
What? That,
TWA that flew out and just blew up. I had a friend of mine on that plane.
Okay,
so
well,
there.
I lost a friend that was on the flight 11 that hit the first tower. So I'll one up you on that.
Well, wait a minute. And you lost two friends now?
Yeah, I lost two friends on September
11th. Oh, you started in with just one friend. Now you're giving me two.
Well, my friend Amy was a stewardess on flight 175, which was a United flight. My friend Dan was a passenger on flight 11.
And what was that? United too?
No, that was American Airlines.
All right, well, I was just singing the praises of American Airlines.
I understand that, but people...
So what is it that I'm being unfair about? That United is going out of business because their service was lousy and they just had lost the touch. They just lost it.
Okay, but this is the holiday season. You have to think of other people other than just yourself. And
are you putting me on with this call? Are you putting
no.
me on with this? You got to be putting me on with this phone call.
I
the
swear
holiday
I'm not.
Season. So what am
yes.
I supposed to do?
Keep in mind the people that are losing their jobs and the families. That
I've
are
been fired six times in my life. It happens. Sorry about that, Charlie. You land on your feet if you're good, and you will. I've been
well,
fired.
No wonder why the flight attendant treats you like a jackass because you are one.
All right, I knew that we were getting to that. Are you going to hang up now? Yes, she hung up. Okay, good. Actually, I am a jackass when I fly, but I still expect them to treat me gooder. 1-800-449-8686. Phil Henry Show. Don't forget our website, philhenryshow.com. If you didn't understand what I just said, I hope you were taping the show. You can slow it down into philhenryshow.com.
1-800-449-8686. The world famous Phil Henry Show. This is the Phil Henry Show, 1-800-449-8686.
And Don, you were saying that this is going to be a rather heavy news time. We've got Don Berman with us from Channel 19's Action News just to join us. It's going to be a very heavy news time and a time that you guys are obviously going to be working pretty hard, right? And not only just working hard, but working outside of the studios. Don?
Yes, Phil, right here.
I'm sorry.
I was saying with Channel 19, Action News, it's difficult for me to talk about the war with Iraq and not understand that the war with Iraq is also going to be involving us very, very much as anchors, as journalists, as news anchors, etc. And it's difficult to talk about that war for me and not feel that at least on some level it is an interesting story. And a story that we here at Channel 19 are looking forward to reporting. You understand that it's a different place. It's a tough place to be in because I don't like the idea of our young soldiers going off to war. I don't like the idea of our people being endangered by war. But I'm a newsman first, and here at Channel 19 Action News, we do four times a day. We do the very best job that we can in reporting that news, and we love a good story. And obviously a war with Iraq is going to be a good story.
Yeah, that, okay, well, I understand what you're saying. It's a difficult position to be in. You want to report the news.
We not only do we want to report the news, Phil, but at Channel 19 Action News, we obviously want to get a fair amount of audience, and that translates into ratings. And I don't think there will be anything on the news agenda over the next year that'll be as big as the potential of war with Iraq.
How does that make you feel personally?
Well, again, I'm conflicted because here in Los Angeles, Phil, I'll tell you this, and you know this, we've had over 600 homicides since the first of the year. And I hate crime as a taxpaying citizen, but I honestly can't say that I hate the fact that people are watching us because of those homicides. Because the ratings show an increase, and when the ratings show an increase, there is a clause in my contract that kicks in a bonus. And I have made this year, since January, I topped what I made in 2001, and 2001 was my best year ever as a newsman.
So you made a lot of money.
I made an awful lot of money.
Because there were a lot of homicides.
Yes, because people are watching the news, and people are watching the news because there's a lot of homicides.
All right. I need for you, Don, and I've known you for a number of years, I need for you to spit it out. Are you telling me that you like the fact that there's been 600 homicides?
I like the fact that there's been news that people want to watch.
Doesn't that mean, though, that you like the fact there's been 600 homicides in Los Angeles?
It's hard for me to dislike it. But I'm a newsman, and so I can't really be held accountable to a personal opinion. If I express a personal opinion that you find odious and offensive, you can't hold me personally accountable.
Why?
Because my opinion is covered by the fact that I do a news show. I like the fact there's been... I'll spit it. You want me to spit it out?
Yes, spit it out.
I like the fact there's been 600 homicides in L.A. And I like the fact that there has been...
How does that make you feel?
Hold on. And I like the fact that there may be a war with Iraq. I work for Channel 19 Action News. We have a 5, 6, 10, and 11 o'clock report. We are number one in the Los Angeles market during all four of those time spots. And we are number one because we give our audience what our audience wants, and that is news, exciting news, news that is...
Well, is news supposed to be exciting? Is news supposed to be thrilling? Isn't news just supposed to be informative?
No, news, in order to get an audience, has to have... some element of exciting. And I wouldn't give you two hoots for some of the news I see on Channel 2 or 4 or the other network-owned stations, because it's dull, it's not exciting. We feature the homicides, and we're going to feature this war with Iraq. And I will tell you something right now. I'm making a lot of money. It doesn't mean my life is going well. I have a young woman who works with Donna DeCruz, and you know Donna, Phil.
Yeah, she's great.
Well, there's a young lady who works with our Up With People team. Now, this young lady is pregnant, and she asked me if she should have an abortion. And I said, you can do whatever you want to do, but what's that got to do with me? And she said, I was the father. Now, here is a young woman who wants to make her name in this business, and she's accusing Don Berman of being the father of a child. That's not how you get ahead. And in the broadcast business, what gets the attention of Don Berman is not lies, it's truth. That's what gets the attention of Don Berman.
You have just spilled out in front of my audience.
I'm well aware of it.
Okay, you've just spilled out in front of my audience a personal peccadillo. You have a young lady accusing you of fathering her child.
But I brought it up to make a point.
Well, what was the point? The point that your life isn't all jolly?
The point that my life is not all great. And the fact is, if you want to make me seem like a bad guy, because I love the fact that people get murdered, and I love the fact that the United States is on the verge of war, because people then watch our news, and that means my bonus kicks in, and yes, I make more money. If you think my life is great because of my bonus kicking in, I brought that up to show you, no, it's not. No, it's not.
Okay, so a young woman, did you have sex with her?
I'm not going to dignify that with a response. The point, Phil, is that...
Well, come on. I mean, she says you're the... What is she? Is she on staff?
She's an intern at the University of Southern California. She's a student in broadcasting at the University of Southern California, and she works on our staff. But you think my life is all a bowl of cherries. No, it isn't. I've got this kid coming up to me in front of Wally Lembeck, Bill Myers, and Chas Calloway, who are the three principals that own Channel 19 and are members of the network, in front of them, asking me if she should have an abortion. She is a slut that sleeps around. I'm not the only one. I know that Bill Winningham, who does our 6 o'clock wake-up report, has been...
Well, you know something? You're going to get in some problems now if you're going to start outing who slept with who. Do you understand?
Phil, we work with a great bunch of people here. We have Bill Winningham. I've got Jack Aspin on sports. We have Donna DeCruz for the Upward People segments. I would never do anything that would disgrace them, but I am telling you now that Bill Winningham, who does our Good Morning report and does our 6:30 Good Day LA report, slept with this thing, and she's coming up to me. Now, the only reason why I don't mention Goldie Showers is because he has always been very faithful to his wife, and I know he will continue to be.
Goldie Showers is who?
He's our weatherman.
I thought we were going to talk about Iraq and about...
We are.
No, we're not. We're talking about you and some intern and Bill Winningham and Goldie Showers sleeping with some intern.
I said Goldie Showers did not sleep with him, with her. She didn't sleep with him. If she was older, she'd realize that calling me the father is a big mistake. It's a mistake that cost her career in broadcasting. So what I'm trying to do is show you that my life is not all a bowl of cherries.
All right, we're talking with Don Berman. He's the 10 o'clock news anchor on Channel 19. Apparently, this young lady accused him of...
Well, that's not why I called, Phil.
I know. You're calling to say that you can't really... You can't really say you don't want a war with Iraq because it's going to mean great news.
That is exactly right.
And you can't say that you don't like the fact there have been 600 homicides in Los Angeles since the first of the year because that makes great news.
Yes.
But you're also saying that your life isn't fantastic, even though your ratings bonus kicked in, because some intern is accusing you of paternity of a child, and you're turning around and blaming it on the morning news anchor on the wake-up report.
Yes, I am.
Then you bring in a man who's completely innocent, Goldie Showers, to say...
I'm saying that he would not. He's faithful to his wife.
Why don't you just leave him out of it?
Because people automatically assume, because of his name, Goldie's involved in some freaky way-out stuff. Because of his name, they think he's real different, and that he's got a lot of different freaks. And he is as normal. He's Christian. He attends his local church.
Because of his name?
Yes. I can attest to that. I will say this. I'm Don Berman, news anchor on Channel 19's 5, 6, 10, and 11 o'clock report. And I am a degraded, disgusting, unprincipled, and low-moraled man. There. Are you happy? I just said it.
Did you father that baby?
You're right I did. You're damn right I did.
Then why would you say it isn't your kid?
Because she embarrassed me in front of Bob Myers and Cass Calloway, two of the principals and CEOs of our company.
And what are we talking about this crap for? I thought it was about Iraq.
And I'll tell you something else. I love the fact that we're going to have a war with Iraq. And I love the fact we'll have another homicide in L.A. because the ratings bonus kicks in. But that means here comes another intern and another accusation of paternity and another embarrassing scene in front of our CEO and another a point in time when Goldie Showers gets his name dragged through the mud just because he has a weird name. I don't like that, but I do like war and I do like murder. And I'm Don Berman.
Don Berman, Channel 10, 19.
Channel 19 News, I'm on a 10. Let me tell you something, Phil. If it bleeds, it leads. I can hardly wait.
Yeah. 1-800-449-8686. Don Berman, who has admitted paternity now of two children by interns at his local television station, and just sort of threw in the name of his weatherman, Goldie Showers, because of his name, people think he's a freak. 1-800-449-8686, Phil Hendry Show.
1-800-449-8686.
And now a time for our flashback from yesterday's show here on the Phil Hendry Show. This involves Art? Which character was it? Oh, Art Griego. Art Griego and his wife, Teddy, to... actually, I like doing the voice of Art because I haven't done him in a long time, but Teddy has. And so they're not putting up lights this year because all it reminds them of are the body bags that'll be coming home from Iraq. He knows. Art does. He served his country in Vietnam. Actually, he served his country in Vietnam in Canada.
Phil Hendry Show.
Comedy Gold.
That man who said he supported our country by going to Canada is full of it. He didn't support our country.
I went to Canada, ma'am, to show
went to Canada because you're a coward. You are a pathetic coward. My father went to Vietnam to support our country and our freedom. My brother is over in Iraq supporting our country and our freedom.
I tried to save your father's life by going to Canada.
My father saved his own life with his M16. Thank you.
Ma'am, my wife Teddy and I wept for the dead when we were in Canada.
Yeah, that's right. You wept for the dead. That's all you could do because you're a coward. You lived up in Canada with the rest of the cowards, and you dodged the draft, and you're a coward.
And for you to say you're an American. There's an old saying, ma'am, sticks and stones can break my bones, words can never hurt me. And calling me a coward doesn't bother me. I know why I went to Canada.
Why did you go to Canada?
I told you.
Well, what you told me was you were serving your country. How were you serving your country?
By dodging a draft.
When we meditated, we wrote. Teddy and I went to an Indian lodge. We sang spirituals. What we did was spiritually try to get ourselves in tune with the true native Canadian sense. That America
How did you support
is
the GIs? How did you support the GIs over in Vietnam?
I'd like to answer that question. I want to read a poem that I wrote.
I don't care about your poem. How did you support the GIs?
I'm about to tell you. I wrote this in a Native American sweat lodge, and it goes like this. I weep for America.
I want to interrupt.
You cried? You cried like a baby as you're sitting pretty in your apartment?
I went through 2 years of hell living in Canada.
You went through 2 years of hell? How about living in monsoon rains in freaking Vietnam? That's hell, dude. Living in a beautiful apartment doing some meditation and crying over singing birds is not hell. I'm sorry.
I think you can speak for yourself. I don't think you can speak for me. The poem is called "O America."
Watch your buddy get his head blown off while you're sitting right next to him, and then you tell me you're living in hell, sitting in Canada, listening to some freaking birds sing.
I could certainly ask you, man. When I heard those birds sing, I wept. And I can ask you this, ma'am.
Yeah, that's all you could do.
What do you know about it? What do you know about it?
Excuse me?
What do you
know
about it?
I know a lot about it, okay?
Look, you're working at the Little General down the street. You're doing returns on items to aisle 6. What do you know about it?
Okay, let's not reduce people to
that. No,
sir, I do not. Have you been to war like I have? No.
Yeah, all right, I have. Every one of the men in my family have gone to war. My grandfather survived Pearl Harbor. My other grandfather survived Iwo Jima, and my father survived Vietnam, and my brother is in Iraq now, and he's going to survive that.
Well,
okay?
You go back to Canada,
you sing your little songs, you cry over your little birds, and you write your little fairy poems, and you stop saying you support Americans, because you don't.
Your grandfather at Pearl Harbor, all he did was learn how to swim.
That's a hell of a thing to say about a guy that had to jump off a ship.
Bill Hendry Show.
Comedy Gold.
1-800-449-8686. The weather back east is apparently coming down pretty good. They've got a lot of snow, and it has locked up the traffic, and it's hard to drive in. You know, you guys listening to me back east, you know exactly what you're going through. And I guess I speak mostly to people who are in the areas that are not affected by the snow. And people have never been to snow, and it's hard to believe, but there are people who've never been to snow, and there's even more people who have never driven in it. And it's not that tough if you get yourself a four-wheel drive. It really isn't. People say it's really hard to drive in the snow. Yeah, if you're driving an old 240Z or something. I mean, it's like 3 inches off the ground. Half these cats around here with them lowered trucks, forget it. You see some guy going down the street in a muscle car that's 2 feet off the, 2 inches off the ground. It's like a snow plow. There goes the paint job. But I had a four-wheel drive and lived in Minneapolis, and it worked just fine. I'd go down the freeway at about 55, 60, everybody else creeping along. But in any event, the weather sucks. And let me tell you what. I didn't dig it, and I got out of there as fast as I could. I lived a year in the city of Minneapolis and St. Paul, and I live there, I am told, during one of the coldest winter, actually the coldest winter of the last 100 years. They said, and they, who knows if Minnesotans are telling the truth, because they lie. God, they lie. They always tell you, oh, yeah, Jack and I are going to have a gathering on Saturday. We'll probably watch the football game. Bring a covered dish. And then I come over with a covered dish. Oh, what you doing with that, Phil? We've got plenty. Why, you dirty, filthy lie. You dirty. Don't you ever lie to me again. Oh, gee, Phil, you're making a big deal out of it. Bring a covered dish. Next time, I'll just bring the dish with nothing in it with a lid on it. How about that? So, you know, it's cold as hell. Cold as hell. So cold you can't go outside. So cold, the guy says, we got a wind chill today of like 60 below. If you go outside, you could die. So you don't go outside. So I finally got out of there while the getting was good. But it was a winter to remember. And, man, we're living large in California in the wintertime. What was the temperature today? 65, maybe? My wife is at the beach right now watching the sunset. And there's some poor guy. He's out there. He's got a Bic lighter to the key so he can get it into the lock on his door. And I'm talking. I'm going, yeah, 65 at the beach. My wife's watching sunset. And this dude's putting an apron over the hood of his car. He's praying he can get it started. All the stuff you had to do. You had to buy an apron to keep your engine heated. If you didn't do that, get yourself a heated garage. If you didn't do that, you know, forget it. And forget about, being warm in the car for like a half hour. You got to start it up and leave it there on the street. Janice, you know, did it snow in Vancouver? It's got to snow in Vancouver. What's that?
Not like it does in the rest of Canada.
Not like it does in the rest of Canada? So it does, in the rest of Canada it snows? I didn't know that. Now, anyway, yeah, Jesus, Canada, holy God. I mean, what do you think about a country where everybody lives way, way down close to the border? Everybody's just crammed up against the border like they're crammed up against a wall because the rest of the country is like, you might as well have the door open to the meat locker. Hey, why don't you guys move up there? Oh, okay. Bunny and I are. We built a house. 6 months later, they come. They find Jim and Bunny both just stiff. They roll them over, you know, with the white face. Phil Henry Show.
1-800-449-8686. The world famous Phil Henry Show. Show 1-800-449-8686.
And welcome to the Phil Henry Show. Vernon Dozier, who is a high school football coach, and Mr. Raj Fineen, who, I forgot, Mr. Fineen, where you said you're working currently.
I'm working
right now. I work at you know what? Let's just kill the music if we could.
No, sir, I want to hear.
All right.
Lower down.
Mr. Dozier? I'd like to, if I could, I'd like to ask a question. Now, why are we, what is this music? This is the Iraqi National Anthem that Mr. Fineen wanted us to play. He is an Iraqi national, and we felt it was polite.
I'll tell you what, that is, you really take the cake, don't you, sir?
You know, my friend, I've been in this country now 8 years. And I felt that...
Well, I've been in this country 51 years, just so you know.
And I felt like this is the first time since I've been in this country that people honored this request of mine, that my country, which is about to become an attack of this United States, that someone cared about what I thought.
May I respond?
Go ahead.
Mister,
calm down, okay?
All right, I'm calm down. You live in the United States of America, sir. This is the greatest thing that's ever happened to the world.
This is not the greatest thing happened. This is not the best thing happened to my country.
Well, you know, let me tell you what's going to happen to your country. The United States of America is going to try to free it from a dictator. And I will say to the radio station, Mr. Henry, you playing the Iraqi national anthem was an absolute insult to the American people and to our service people.
I did it because... I thought it would enable Mr. Finine to relax. He didn't want to come in and have this debate. And again, sir, I didn't get, what do you do for a living?
I work, this year I work to help to repair appliance, the kitchen appliance.
You repair kitchen appliances and things?
Yes, this year. Last year I work heating, plumbing. This year I work the appliance. I came to the United States in 1992. Worked the restaurant and different job.
And you made money, I assume.
You know something, this is why I come to your... To this program today, because I want to say this, if I could.
Go ahead, sir.
This country, America, says to me, you come to this country, you can become man, you can make money, you can have best life. This is a lie. This is a lie. This is a lie.
Hold on for a minute here. All right, gentlemen, we need to let one guy say one thing and then the other guy. But this gentleman is misrepresenting exactly how things work in this country. And all right, well, let him just say it. Go ahead, Mr. Finine.
America says this is the best country. You can come to America. You can make a lot of money. You can come to America. You can make a lot of money. This is a filthy lie because I've been in this country now 8 years. I bring my family to this country 8 years. And there has never been for my family the good life that they say, you come to America, you can have a big car, you can have a big home. We live in an apartment. We live worse this country than we did Iraq.
I think that's a filthy, stinking lie.
I tell you right now, we live where...
Where did you live in Iraq? Where did you live in Iraq?
I had an apartment in Baghdad, the southern section of Baghdad called Iste.
What was it?
It was a southern section of Baghdad called Iste. This is a suburb.
You lived in the suburbs of Baghdad, and you're telling me you had a suite set up there, and over here you're living like a freaking monkey. Is that it?
All right, let's not use monkey.
No, well, that's what he's telling me.
I'm not... This racism is not anything new for me, you know, because...
How am I racist?
You call me monkey. You said I live like monkey in cage.
I don't think he was saying that. I think he was saying that you're living dirty. That's what I'm trying to say. But you see, this guy, he don't want to hear the good stuff. He just wants to wait for the American to come down on him. Now, I'd be very happy to do that, because I just heard you play the Iraqi national anthem. And, oh, boy, I can't even begin to tell you the different colors of... I'll tell you, if I had a bowel movement right now, it would come out in a rainbow, assorted varieties. Because if you are telling me that you live better in Iraq, then you are a liar, and I won't...
I tell you this. This is this much I will tell you. America says, come to this country. You can live good. You don't live good, this country. My family, I not live good. Everybody, they say, easy to make money. And
all right, Mr. Finine,
please shut up for a moment, please.
You don't tell him to shut up.
I'll run the show, all right, Mr. Finine.
Please shut up, because I do want to say this.
Mr. Finine,
shut up, please, sir, shut your mouth. Please just shut your mouth. These bastards, America has lied. They say it is great here. It's not great. America is not taking care of me. I have this job. I fix washing machine. I come...
Well, what did you expect? You came here, you got a job, didn't you? You know, the things you're saying to me right now, I could crap a roll of lifesavers. I mean...
Okay, hold on for a minute.
What do you mean?
Just hold on for a minute. What did you think would happen when you came to America?
I want to be CEO. I see pictures of America to be CEO. They show you the CEO. And you come to America. You Americans, you sucked me in. You sucked me in. You lied to me. You said, come bring your family. You stick me in a van. There's no windows on van. I come over from Mexico.
Oh, so now you're telling me you're here illegally. Holy Jesus, sweet.
Now, hold on. Are you here illegal?
No, sir. I've got the resident visa. I'm trying to get this extended. And for me, this best thing to do is bring family over here. I'm going to extend my visa.
Why in the name of the sweet, feathery infant Jesus would you want to extend a visa and live in a country that you say has lied to you?
Shut up. I'm not finished.
Don't you tell me to shut up. Don't you ever tell me to shut up. You can tell the host of this show that he can get on a bicycle and go screw himself halfway around the world if you want to, but you never tell me to shut up.
I'm trying to say that America lied to me. They brought me this country. They lied to me.
How did America lie?
I want to be CEO. 8 years, I'm not the CEO.
You're fixing washing machines, sir. What are you going to be CEO of?
This, let me tell you something. This towel head thinks, all right, I can't have towel head, all right, because that's just...
No, that's typical American racism. That's typical American racism. I knew you was going to say this.
This towel head, I'll say it again, comes on this program. He's fixing washing machines, and he thinks that he ought to be a CEO. Holy sweet, feathery infant Jesus in the manger. I have heard it all. I'm about ready to push out a roll of Lifesavers. That is... Okay, look, gentlemen... Can I make a request, Mr. Henry? Gentlemen, I want to say something before anybody makes a request. I want to clean up the language. We don't need towel head, okay?
That's what the picture showed me. Suit, tie, white picket fence, the Buick car. That's what I want.
I understand, but I'm not talking about... Let's forget about you pushing out a roll of Lifesavers. Let's forget about the raghead comments.
I apologize, sir, but that's because I'm an American.
Okay. All right, but I think you're being...
What does that mean?
I apologize because I happen to be an American. I come from a civilized country. I bet you wouldn't know I'm sorry if I parked it halfway up that rag... Oh, man.
Okay, look at guys.
No, but this, I'm used to this. 8 years ago, I come to this country. They said to fix a washing machine. So I fix...
So you fix washing machines, pal. I used to deliver papers in this country. I used to do migrant farm work in this country. I bought my own body shop so I could fix cars. Now I'm teaching school. I mean, that's what you do in this country.
I come here 8 years ago, but I'm not CEO. America lied to me about it.
Then why don't you take your towel head and all the little smaller towel heads and park it on back to Iraq?
Here we go again with the towel head thing.
No, he's pissing me off now. If he don't like it here, why is he extending his resident visa?
Why are you, sir?
Because, what do you mean?
Why, if you think America is a lying piece of crap country, why are you extending your visa here?
Because I want, my uncle is coming over, he needs a place to live. So,
oh, now his uncle's coming over. Everybody hates it so much. His GD uncle's coming over. Oh, God. Can I excuse myself? I got to go to the bathroom and push out 5 different flavors of Lifesaver. All right, come on.
Let me get Mary on the line here. Hi, Mary. You're on the Phil Henry Show with Vernon Dozier and Raj Fanin.
Yes.
Go ahead, dear.
Hello.
Yes, go ahead.
Yes, I want to tell this guy, this is America. And
but I come this country 8 years ago, fix washing machine. I live in apartment. Okay. This not big life, everybody says.
Okay, let me tell you something. You know, like this country, it's very easy. Pack it up and get out. This is American. This country is so beautiful for everybody who wants to be here, to love the American. People that don't love American have to get out from this country. Simple like that.
But how come they lied to me to say that this best place to live? This man called me towelhead.
Oh, come on. I called you a towelhead for... Mary, can I ask you, this is Vernon. Where are you from, ma'am?
I'm from Spain, and
okay.
I live here.
Here's a lady who's come here, and
long time.
That's right, and she loves this country.
I love this country.
That's good, and that's kind of what it's about.
I think America is great Satan. America is great Satan.
No, I don't think so.
He's going to destroy.
No. You people like you is that what we don't want in this America, because you come here and you think everything is free. There's nothing free in this country. Okay?
Why
you
don't
have to work hard for anything you want.
Why don't I get the welfare? Why don't they give me the welfare? Why can't I get the money from the Washington, D.C.? They can
mail it
to me the check.
Why you think you have to get everything? You
because
have to hunt. You have to work. Are you crazy? This is American. This is no welfare place.
They say that. Okay, hold on, Raj. The lady's talking. Go ahead, ma'am.
No, you shut your mouth. You shut up. I'm sick.
No, wait. Don't tell her to shut up.
Look at that. He told a lady to shut up. Oh, man. Oh. Have you ever had a nice, kind of well-done knuckle sandwich?
You know, you don't scare me. You shut up.
Don't tell the lady to shut up. Go ahead, Mary.
Yeah. You see, that's the people that come from India, from Pakistan, from another country, they don't have education. They come to this country and they want everything free. There's nothing free, my friend. You don't like it, this country, very simple. Take your bike and go back again. And
I
go back to your
country
and don't come anymore here.
Yeah, but they said to cut the welfare. I did not get welfare. I went to Disneyland and I thought it was free to go to Disneyland.
Are you stupid or something? What the hell kind of moron are you? It ain't free nowhere, friend. I'll bet you it costs more to go into Baghdad and take yourself a healthy dump in a pay toilet than it does to go on into Disneyland on a 4-day pass.
All right, Mary, do you have a job?
Excuse me?
Mary, do you have a job?
I have everything, okay?
What kind of job you have?
What kind of job? I'm an esthetician and I drive Mercedes-Benz. Okay,
SPL 420. That's because you come from
Spain. Okay, and I live in the best apartment. apartment in Miami Beach. I live in the 32nd floor, see the ocean, okay? In three bedroom. Listen to me, in three bedroom, okay?
That's right.
I am single,
That's right.
I don't need nobody, okay? I'm working for my money, for my standard of life. If you don't like this country and you want free and you want welfare, go back to your country, okay?
I tell you this. I would rather watch a third trimester abortion via ultrasound than listen to you talk because you lie. You lie for the American.
Oh, boy. I want to wring this guy's neck now.
All right. Listen, yeah. Mary, thank you, dear.
Thank you.
Yeah, thank you very much. How dare you?
I would rather see a third trimester abortion via ultrasound than listen to the lies coming from this lackey who is obviously somebody who is is being paid by U.S. government, is CIA, is it?
Oh, why don't you shut your rag trap? You are driving me out of my mind. Holy Christ, what is that?
This is Iraq National Anthem. You stand up.
I'm not going to get your freaking hands off of me. I will not stand up for no anthem of the Iraq country.
The people of Iraq love this.
You, all right, Mr. Henry? Look, gentlemen, don't put your hands on each other. Okay? You understand? Do not put your hands on each other. Mr. Henry, I've got something that I want to play. Okay? If he gets to play that, why can't I play what I want to play?
What do you want to play?
All right, listen to this.
What are you doing?
Turn that crap. You hear this?
What is that? I don't understand.
Okay. This is music from a movie about five guys.
What do you play movie music for? You shut up.
No, you shut up. This is movie from music from a movie about five guys that go down the river. Well, one of them meets up with two good old boys up in the woods, and they take him all the way down to his underwear, and they roll him around in the mud, and they give it to him right up the old back area. So get him down.
You can't do that to me.
Get him down.
No!
Gentlemen, please. There are women present. Yeah, how do you like that, huh?
You filthy animal.
That's right. I want you to squeal. I want you to squeal. Well, whatever those guys are doing, we'll be right back. Phil Hendry Show, 1-800-449-8686.
1-800-449-8686. The world-famous Phil Hendry Show. The Phil Hendry Show is back.
So did you watch Whitney Houston? I did not. And I didn't because I'm trying to figure out why I didn't, but I think it's because I don't really care. But when I did see her, it reminded me of the African-American women that I have been out with. Now, when I say this, I'm saying this as a married man, and I also say this as a guy who was a bachelor for 44 years. So I ain't a playboy, and I wasn't. I just, if you live long enough, you stay single long enough, it's just gonna happen, pal. It's sooner or later, if you're white, one black woman is gonna fall right in there. If you live long enough, and you're a white man who lives long enough, and you're a single guy long enough, sooner or later, pal, you're gonna go to bed with a black chick. It's just gonna happen. I don't know. You don't even have to seek it out. You don't even have to say, wow, I'd sure like to. It's very interesting. They're very beautiful women. You just stand there, man. It'll happen. Just stand still in one place. And I was involved with a beautiful young lady named Yvonne for 3 years. And it was close to the marriage thing. Very close. My sister said to me, when I moved back here from Miami, and I said to my sister, I'd like Yvonne maybe to move back here with me. And she goes, does she have a ring on her finger? I said, no, I wouldn't move anywhere with a guy if he didn't put a ring on my finger. And I told Yvonne that, and she goes, she's damn right. And then I realized that it was probably not to be. And it had nothing to do with her being black or me white. It was her breath. No, it was the fact that she, we weren't, I'm not going to get into anything personal. We weren't suited for each other, really, ultimately, when it came to marriage. But she said something to me once that I thought was interesting. I asked her, why'd you go out with me? She said, because you were a white guy who wasn't nervous and scared. She said, most white guys that ask black women out seem to be kind of nervously approaching the subject. They don't want to ask them out. And I, when I worked in Minneapolis, I was so
desperately lonely that I would have walked up to midgets, to hamsters, anything. It's just, hi, excuse me, miss, can I just stop them on street corner? It didn't matter to me. It was so cold and so lonely there that I had to take comfort. And transvestites, you name it, cross-dressers, transgender, Aunt Fran, I don't care who. And then I met Yvonne. She worked at the same radio station, and we had a terrific time. So when I look at Whitney Houston, all I do is think of Yvonne and what might have been. Actually, you come back to what you know in life. You may date a Jewish girl, but you're going to wind up marrying a Catholic chick. And if you're a Jewish guy, you may date a shiksa, but you're going to wind up marrying some Jewish chick. And if you're a white guy, you may dabble in the fine art of African-American women. You're going to wind up hooking up with a white woman. For the most part, it happens. You return home to what you know. And then you're divorced 3 years later. But you still return home to what you know. Anybody want to hear the Iraqi national anthem again? I don't. All right, 1-800-449-8686. Phil Hendry Show.
1-800-449-8686. The world famous Phil Hendry Show. Here's Phil Hendry, 1-800-449-8686.
Hey, Jeff?
Yes, sir.
Okay, go ahead. You were talking to me about Bush and what you think is the reason for going to war. And if you could turn your TV down a little bit.
Yes, sir. Turn it down. Turn it down. I think that President Bush has some explaining to do to the American people, Phil, because he has engaged in the oil business for a long time, so has his dad. And so the two of them together have been in the oil business ever since before he was born, and when his dad was also his dad, but he hadn't been born yet. Okay?
What do you mean his dad was his dad, but he hadn't been born yet? I'm sorry?
No, I'm saying before President Bush was born.
Yes, his father was in the oil business before the birth of George Jr.
Yes, sir. And also the older father, Prescott, the grandfather, Prescott Bush, was also involved in the oil business. Okay, here's the thing that you need to understand, and the American people have not gotten it yet. The number one product that the Bush family's been involved in is...
Could you have your friend, whoever is there, turn it down?
I'm sorry?
The TV set?
Turn it down. Turn it down, bitch.
All right. Jeff?
Yes, sir.
I don't want any language on my program. I just heard you call your friend the B word.
I'm sorry, sir.
Okay. No language. Just keep the TV down so we can talk. Otherwise, I got to hang up on you and go to another caller.
Yes, sir.
Go ahead.
I'm sorry, sir. The thing I wanted to say was, first of all, the President of the United States is involved in the oil business. Now, if you put these two things together, you begin to add things up. The number one product in the Middle East is also the oil business. That means that the President of the United States is getting involved in the Middle East because of...
All right, hold on. I got to ask you again. Have your friend turn it down.
Turn it down. Turn it down, Toby. That the President of the United States is involved in the oil business.
I know that. I know the president is involved in the oil business.
No, but how many of your listeners do? How many of the American people do? How many American people have put together President Bush is the oil business? President Bush is the oil business. And Iraq is oil, too. Put those two things together. Okay.
I put it together, man, all the time.
But the American people, a lot of this information...
Now, the American people know that, that there's oil in the Middle East. Where do you think the oil comes from for you? Where do you think the oil comes from that you put in your car?
What?
Where does the oil come from that you put in your car?
It comes from, probably it comes from Saudi Arabia or Iraq because of the sweet crude.
Okay, if you know that, the American people, could you turn that, I'm going to hang up if you don't turn it down.
Turn it down, man. He's going to hang up if you don't turn it down.
I can't keep doing the show with that turned up.
He ain't do the show with it turned up, man. Turn it down. You can go to Walmart, get 3 quarts of it, too, for, I think Walmart right now, Tony, they got. Yeah, you got to get 3 quarts for like $6.
I'm sorry, 3 quarts of what?
Of oil. See, so
I'm not talking about 3 quarts of motor oil, man.
No, no, I know, and no, I know. But I'm saying that the oil. See, that's what I'm saying. The oil is cheaper.
All right, man. I'm sorry. You know, a lot of the thing. Hello.
I'm sorry. What?
You smoking dope?
No, sir, I'm not.
Then why do I hear a bong?
I'm not smoking dope.
What are you smoking in that bong?
I'm just smoking tobacco.
You're smoking tobacco in a bong. Have you ever heard of a cigarette?
I'm not. I don't like them. I don't like the fillers on them.
You're smoking tobacco in a bong?
Yes, sir, I am.
You're on the air with me. You're telling me that in that bong is tobacco.
Yes, sir.
All right, so you're saying the American people don't have information about the connection between the Bush family.
Turn it down, man. Is it turned down enough?
Turn it down some more.
Turn it down some more, man. Turn it down, man. I'm on the radio. So the Bush family, on account of the oil that they're involved in, and that's the connection. That's why Bush wants to go to the Middle East, because he wants to have oil, or he wants to control it. And the people that he digs, like Saudi Arabia, they want to not be scared of Saddam Hussein. So he's going over there, man, and doing it for the Saudi Arabians. Everybody knows. I mean, anybody who knows anything knows that.
I thought you said the American people didn't know.
Well, the American people don't know that, but the people that study it know. We're over there for Saudi Arabia. Saudi Arabia wants us over there. They want us to kick Saddam Hussein's ass all the way out of there. And they're only saying that they don't want us to.
Well, I think I agree with you on that. But I don't agree that the American people aren't aware of the connection between the Bush family, oil interest, and the Middle East.
Well, how do you figure it out?
What are you talking about, man? The Bush family's in the oil business. You get oil from the Middle East.
Yeah, but how do you make the connection?
Let's see. Oil? They get it out of the ground in the Middle East?
Maybe they get it out at... Maybe they get it out of the Texas land.
Smoke another joint, okay?
I'm not smoking any joints, man.
Turn the music down, or the TV.
Turn it down. I said to the guy...
Now, who's smoking that?
Toby. I said that... Jesus, that's a hell of a hit. Okay, that's enough. Save some for me. I told the guy, when I called up on the show, that I wanted to tell you about it because I think it's been declassified. Bush is from Texas. They get oil from Texas, but they also get it from the Middle East. So...
Thank you for my new freezer.
Thanks a lot, man.
Is that all right?
Yeah, I can't hear you. Your TV's up again.
My car needs a new fuel pump.
I told him to turn it down. I guess it's not doing any good.
No, man, it's not doing any good. Thanks a lot for that declassified information that oil comes from the Middle East and Texas, too.
Yeah, you can also go to the library and look it up, too, man, on the Internet. Honeymooners Marathon.
Okay. 1-800-449-8686. Phil Henry Show.
1-800-449-8686. The world famous Phil Henry Show.
1-800-449-8686. And now more on The Phil Hendry Show.
And our website is philhendryshow.com, and our souvenir shop is open for the Jay Sano Citizens Auxiliary Police T-shirts, the Teds of Beverly Hills bowling shirts. And also, if you want our Best of CD, the world famous 2002 Phil Hendry Show Best of CD, call 877-616-7445. 877-616-7445. And I just had a thought. How's that lawsuit going against the Saudi Arabians? Is that going good? You know something? I'm totally in favor of that. I love the idea of that. I love it all the way down to my shoes. They're suing Saudi Arabia, a group of families, suing them because they caused the deaths of their relatives during 9/11. It's a brilliantly executed plan, in my opinion. One, of course, that probably the American courts are not going to hear, or there'll be some stumbling block thrown in their way because we're in bed with these guys. But if we ever found out through this court case, that the Saudis executed or helped execute the 9/11 murders, we would be within our rights to go over there and just say, you see all this oil? It's now ours. Thank you. We would. And consider all the oil that we purchased up to this point a gift from us to you. Go ahead. Keep the money. Hope you were smart with what you did with it, because from now on, baby, it's all cut off. I'm telling you right now, we would be... What amount of money could pay for that? If you found out that those guys walking around in the bedsheets and the now they're into racing horses... I got a couple of buddies that... I have friends. I grew up in Arcadia, California. What's in Arcadia? Well, among many things is Santa Anita Racetrack. If you're a kid growing up in that town, you get to know horse people. They live there. They work there. Their kids go to school there. Johnny Longdon, the great jockey Johnny Longdon, his son went to high school with my brother, et cetera, down through the years. We've all come to know the families of the people that work at Santa Anita. And a few of my friends are guys that train thoroughbred horses. One of them was in Saudi Arabia training for a couple of sheikhs down there. A couple of sheikhs and you're all done. And he was down there. Now, unfortunately, his first name's Simon. I won't give you his last name, although I should, because he owes me money. He's a great guy. Simon is from Ireland, and naturally, and I say this, when I say naturally, I mean every word of this. Naturally, he likes to drink. I'm Irish. I like to drink. It's just comes with the territory. So what do you get when you take an Irishman, stick him down in the sand of Saudi Arabia where there's a whole lot of Muslims, and he's training horses and he gets thirsty? You got a guy that's going to be smuggling in some, you know, Guinness, or he's trying to make it out of torpedo juice, or he's going to the local bazaar and finding rubbing alcohol, whatever he's doing, and the Saudis who he was working for found out, and they kicked his ass out of Saudi Arabia, which I must say can't possibly be the worst thing that would ever happen to you in your life. But it was a steady gig, training these horses. They love their thoroughbreds, those Saudi Arabians. And they love to talk out of both sides of their face. But I'm telling you right now, what happened to those families on 9/11 and what happened to this country on 9/11, the only way you could ever possibly repay for any of it would be confiscating all the oil fields in Saudi Arabia. I'm totally serious. What do you think? Or am I wrong? Well, I'm not asking you what you think, but what do you think it's worth? It's got to be worth more than $100 billion. It's worth way more. It's worth trillions and trillions. Down through the years, it's trillions and trillions. But I figure that's what it's worth, trillions and trillions. So we could go down there, say, hi, what's your name?
I'm Ahmed.
Oh, you're the night watchman? Hi, I'll take over from now.
Well, what are you doing?
Let's just go ahead, go on, go home. The camel's tied up over there. See you later. We're taking it. Well, you're an American. Yes, that's, you got that right. You're very, very astute. I'm an American. What are you raising there? That's the American flag, see? Now, all of this is ours. Well, we're going to attack. Oh, whoa. No, not that. Not the Saudi Arabian cavalry. Oh! You go right ahead and go get the camel cavalry ready, and we'll be down here pumping the juice out of the ground, okay? How dare you, you infidels. Yeah, sure. We're going to go get some Muslim countries. We're going to band together, the Arab League, because we're all brothers. We're all that pan-Arabic crap. Yeah, I like that. Yeah, that's really going over good, isn't it? I really love that. Okay, yeah, go ahead. Get all the pan-Arabic guys together. You really swung that Israel thing. Was great, man. You got all them Arab guys together. You really knocked them into the ocean, didn't you? You're just a smartass. You're an arrogant American. We're going to get your ass out of there. We'll open up the gates of hell. You betcha. We'll be here. What do you think is going to happen? It'll be the easiest thing we ever did. The only guys that are going to get pissed off are the Russians because we promised to buy their juice. So we'll simply say, okay, we'll keep buying it, whatever. This will be our big reserve base. Prices don't have to go down. Prices can stay the same. We'll keep buying the Russian juice because they'll get bent out of shape and upset. And we'll send a little bit over to North Korea so they don't get into bed with the Chinese. And it's going to be a beautiful thing. And we'll have the Saudi Arabian juice. That'll be just our reserve pit. Anything, you know, things get tough, whatever. And we could also sell some of that stuff to the guys that still need it. Nobody has to get hurt. Everybody that traditionally buys from Saudi Arabia, you're just buying from the Americans now. That's all. That's the only difference. If you're French, and I know the French will probably, they'd have to swallow hard before they bought anything from us, right? Well, we're sorry. Put a big fat smile on our face, stamp a big American flag on the barrel and go, here you go, frogs. Here's your oil today. That's if we find out that those Saudis had anything to do with it, that Saudi government. I don't know how things work in that country. They got a prince here, and they got a sheikh here, and they got a some duke over there, and they're all part of the ruling clan, and I guess they're all family. That's the way it works in those Middle Eastern countries. A lot of these clans are family, and clans run countries as they ran tribes. So they're all sort of married, and I don't know whether one hand knows what the other one's doing. Because I've heard some stories about one of the guys there is funding terrorist activities. I heard that another guy was, he had met with an Al-Qaeda operative. But be that as it may, the Saudi Arabians, things just keep getting worse for them, doesn't it? It just keeps getting smellier and smellier for them. They just can't seem to pull their feet out of it. They buy ad time in American television that says, we really feel bad about 9/11, from our people to your people. Good luck. Nice knowing you. And doesn't sway us one bit. Then they have their ambassador on all the news shows talking about how we're totally in on this war on terrorism. And you know, the guy looks about as sincere as a freaking head waiter when he says, nice tie. I mean, come on. And the sheikhs that go down there for those barbecues with Bush, with the big smile, and Bush is shaking their hands. Bush has got to know, man, that nobody's buying this thing anymore. He's got to get away from those guys, George, before it's too late, before you lose in 2004. You keep playing that dance. Now, I heard, even these guys, the Republicans in the Congress, now they're getting a little bent out of shape. That guy, Arlen Specter, he's ready to blow. He's ready to, excuse me for using the word blow, what I mean by that is, he's ready to you know, take some heads out. Because he thinks there's somebody covering something up. Whole Congress is getting pissed off. The American people are pissed off. And Bush is still with this pitch about how they're really good friends and partners in terror. Now, I know that a guy in that part of the world has got to put the big smiley face on to say, we really hate the Americans, they're infidels, and we're really with you, brother pan-Arabic assholes. And on the other end of the stick, they got to say, America, we dig you, and we got to do this stuff. You know, there's a public relations thing that they got to keep up. They're doing a little too good. That's all I'm saying. All right, in other news, biking may harm your sperm count. Really? Who's the guy that picked that story? Hey, biking may harm... If you're a man and you ever rode a bike, you got that news about 20 years ago. The first time you sat on a bicycle seat, then got off of it 20 minutes later and couldn't feel your genitals, you knew something was wrong with that seat. There's something wrong. The blood just gets cut off. It hurts. And, of course, God forbid you hit a bump or you stop suddenly and you fly off of the seat onto that nice, hard, steel metal bar. The one that they have there for the guys, but the girl bikes has no bar. From the time I was like six, what are you talking about? Why do we have a bar, Daddy? Oh, that's so we can have our nads driven up into our brains when we fall off. Oh, okay. Just wanted to know, Dad. And how come the girls, they don't have the same thing that we have? How come they don't have no bar? That's because girls are better than guys. They're purer, they're lovelier, they're more affectionate and sweet, and we want them to live thousands of years while we die painful deaths of testicular cancer and heart attacks. Okay, Daddy, thank you. You're welcome. Sperm count, no kidding. Yeah, you got that right. I've been using my wife's Exercycle. Well, not anymore, but last, when I lost all that weight to, it's been about a year and a half now. I'd get off that thing, and I'd have to reach down there and kind of maneuver things to make sure that there was blood flow, because I couldn't feel anything. It was just, like, gone. You ever been on one of those Exercycles? Or maybe there's something desperately wrong with me, but I'm not kidding you. You sit on that thing long enough, the blood flow just gets stopped up, and you go, wow, this is what it's like to be a girl. There's nothing there. That's great. So just remember that, guys. If you didn't get the word, you ain't been riding a bike. 1-800-449-8686. Oh, and it says here, get shock absorbers for your bike. You know, when I was a kid, the bicycles that we rode were those big English-made 8,000-pound, big, heavy, pieces of crap shock absorbers. They were wired right into a hard metal bar. Every bump just vibrated your brain. I mean, it was like concussive. Okay, 1-800-449-8686. Let's all go look up concussive, and we'll be right back.
1-800-449-8686. The world-famous Phil Henry Show. Here's Phil Hendry, 1-800-449-8686.
RC?
Yes, sir.
As a cadet in a military academy, are you worried that you won't see any action in Iraq, or that the war will continue and you may, once you go through your basic training in the military, may see action?
I'm fairly confident, sir, that I'll see action in Iraq. I think there'll be occupational forces there, but the bigger point, I think, is, as a fighting man for this country and getting a private education at a military academy, there's a great deal of training that goes into what we do, and there's a great deal of training that goes into making us the fighting men that we should be. And it's kind of like driving a Ferrari. You want to take it out to the racetrack, you don't want to waste it in the hospital zone, if you know what I'm talking about.
All right, so you're saying that you're being trained not to do anything?
I don't want to go to Iraq if they don't have weapons of mass destruction. And I think this is one area where our commander-in-chief is falling down a little bit. He hasn't offered any proof yet. And that, I think, is important, because what I'm capable of is a lot as a cadet and as a military man. But you're not going to be able to see it until I get proof.
Well, what do you mean until you get proof? You're a cadet in a military academy.
No, but I'm in my junior year. Well, what do you mean by that? I'm in my junior year.
What I mean by that is you're in a, well, let's say you could be drafted right now. How old are you?
I'm 17.
You're 17. Let's say you could be drafted right now. What do you mean you're not going to go? I won't see what you're capable of until you get proof.
Sir, what I mean is this: our commander in chief, who we respect and who we love, is a little misguided on the Iraq issue. He keeps saying that Saddam has weapons of mass destruction, and yet we ask for the proof. We thirst for the proof. We want to see it because we do want to support our commander-in-chief. I want to go to war, and I want to take that guy out. And yet our commander-in-chief lets us down. He doesn't show us the proof. He doesn't give us what we need so that we can march off into battle and be confident that we're doing the right thing. And I can tell you this, Mr. Hendry, it's going to be real hard for me to move my hind end off of this bunk if the commander-in-chief refuses to provide the proof.
Wait a minute. A soldier, young man...
You know, you don't have to call me young man, okay? I'm a cadet in a military academy.
I don't mean any disrespect, but a soldier does what he's told. A soldier does what the commander-in-chief tells him to do.
Well, you're not exactly right, sir.
Where am I wrong?
First of all, the law states that a soldier may not follow any immoral order. That means if he gave me the order to go and carve up or butcher up some civilians, I will not do that. I will not do that. It's against the military code of conduct, and I'm not going to do it.
All right. You know, all right, I understand that, and a lot of that is born of the Geneva Convention and what happened in World War II. But I'm talking, what do you mean immoral? The president says go to Iraq, you go to Iraq.
I'm waiting for my commander-in-chief to provide me with the proof. And when he does, Mr. Henry, I will be happy to go to Iraq and go to Saddam Hussein's presidential palace and maybe even kill him, maybe be the one to kill him.
What do you mean until Bush provides the proof? Look, you're a cadet, and there's chances that you will not go to Iraq. There is a chance...
Well, no. When I graduate, I'm going to go into basic training in the United States Army. Then you'll see I'll be an officer, and then I'll go to Iraq as an occupational force.
All right. You'll go to Iraq as an occupational force.
If I get the proof I need. But the president lets us down. Every day, we ask ourselves, will he come today? Will he be there for us today? Will the President of the United States give us the proof that we hunger for so we can go and with the right arm of what we feel is a very just nation, smite Saddam Hussein and his army? But our Commander-in-Chief does not do that for us. And
there's not a soldier out there that won't fight for his country regardless of the order.
Again, that's not true.
I mean, if it's an immoral order... I understand.
The military code of conduct tells me I don't have to follow an immoral order, and I will not.
So in other words, President Bush telling you to go to Iraq to kill Saddam Hussein is an immoral order unless he gives you proof that there's weapons of mass destruction. Is that what you're telling me?
Yes, sir, I'm afraid I am.
Well, I think you're way out of bounds.
Well, excuse me, Mr. Henry, what rank are you in the military? I didn't get it.
I'm not in the military.
Oh, whoa. I thought you were a general or something, the way you're talking. Let me tell you something, Mr. Henry. I've been a cadet for 3 years at Bradley Military Academy, one of the highest-ranked military academies on the West Coast. And another thing, it says in the military code of conduct, you don't follow a bad order. And also, I won the obstacle course last week, and I'm my class president also. So I think...
Well, all of those things roll together. You must just be General Douglas MacArthur, aren't you? You're just...
Well, I'm in a military academy. You're not.
President Bush says go to Iraq, you go.
No.
Yes, you do, because that's what you do as a soldier.
It's an immoral order, unless he gives us proof.
Well, I don't...
Yeah, got you. See, you, if you're not in military, you don't know.
I admit I'm a little frustrated because I believe that what I'm saying is right.
Mr. Henry, sir, I'm just saying that I am highly trained. I'm very highly trained. I'm psycho. I mean, I'm ready to eat my own guts along with all of my other cadet mates. And it would be a waste of time and a waste of me and a waste of me as an asset to send me to Iraq where there's nothing there. It would be boring. And we wouldn't like it at all. We would sit around and do nothing because there's nothing to do.
You'd be fighting the Iraqi army. You'd be fighting the Iraqi military. Okay?
But there would be no reason to, because there's no weapons of the destruction. Send the soldiers that aren't as trained. Don't send me.
Let me tell you something, kid, about...
Oh, here we go. You're going to tell me all about the military, is that it?
Yeah, I'm going to tell you all about being a man. That's what I'm going to tell you about. I'm a man, you're not. Here's what you do. You get an order. I don't care if you're a cadet in a military academy. I don't care if you're in the United States Marine Corps, Army, whatever. You get an order from your commander-in-chief, you follow through. It is not immoral to say, this is the order of the day. We're going to go over there to Iraq. We're going to attack the Iraq military. We're going to seek out all weapons of mass destruction, and we're going to destroy them.
Well, you got to prove it to me.
Wait a minute. Prove what to you? Prove what to you? Why did we attack Germany? Did we have absolute proof that there were concentration camps? We knew that something bad was going on, and we went over and we took care of it.
Well, I don't believe, sir, that... Do we have proof of the concentration camps?
Boy, you must be stupid. You must be... What do you mean, do we have proof?
Well, didn't they say that was made up?
Yeah, stupid idiots said it was made up. There is proof there's concentration camps. Go over there, you can visit them.
Sir, I would ask you to remember that you're talking to a cadet in the military academy.
And I would remind you that you're talking to a man with a great many more years in this world than you, my friend. Roger, you're on the Phil Hendry Show. Hello.
Hello.
Yes, sir.
Yes, I'd like to address the cadet there. I understand he's 17. When I was 19, I was a United States Air Force Gulf War veteran already.
What'd you do?
I was in munitions.
You didn't fly no jet or anything, did you?
What's that now?
You didn't fly no jet.
I can't understand you. I'm sorry.
He said he didn't fly. You didn't? Did you fly? You didn't fly, Roger? Did you? You were in munitions.
Yes, sir. I was in munitions. I didn't fly. I did provide the explosives, the bombs, missiles, what have you. For
you were in the rear with the gear.
Will you let the guy finish?
I'm calling to say that, you know, for one, when you do get into the real military, bashing our commander-in-chief will not get you very far.
When you get into
the real military, you will find out that you will do what you're ordered to do, whether you like it or not, because you are expendable. And they will find somebody to replace you.
But the military code of conduct says I don't have to do an illegal order.
That nobody's going to give you an illegal order, son, okay? And
you can't go to Iraq unless you have proof.
That's not illegal. That's not illegal. That is a military operation based upon the beliefs and the intelligence of the people in charge.
Exactly.
Well, listen to you. I guess you watched a lot of combat.
Well, kid, what are you talking to me like that for?
I'm in a military academy.
An academy, man, is not going to get you ready for the military. When you get the basic training, they are going to eat you alive.
What are you talking about?
They thrive on people that go to these little military academies.
You're going
to find out in a hurry it's not real military.
You already
don't have respect. You're going to learn it quick when you get there.
What, somebody's going to kick my ass?
Yep, that's about it.
Yeah, don't put it past them, okay?
I was
in the least abusive military branch there is, and I'll tell you, buddy, they don't put up with it.
Mr. Rogers, sir, I would be happy to have you carry my weapons into war.
Thank you.
Okay? But I'm going to be the guy at the wheel of that jet, not you. You'll be in the rear with the gear.
Oh, what did you see? Another? What did you go and watch Full Metal Jacket again last night? Or you that in the rear with the gear crap?
That's what he done.
He was a munitions man, a very essential part of the operation of a military...
operation.
Right.
Thank you.
Thank you, Roger, very much for your call.
You bet, sir.
Air Force.
That's pussy.
No, y'all, yeah. 1-800-449-8686. Let me just tell you this, kid. You will go where the commander-in-chief tells you to go. And then you will go home, and then you'll get a job, and you'll be out of the military.
I plan on making the military my life. I'm going to be in it for, like, when Eisenhower did it.
What is that supposed to mean?
He was a general, then he did something else.
Yeah, he became president.
Sounds good to me.
Here is Jimmy. Jimmy, go ahead.
I'm sorry, I missed your name again. What is your name, please?
My name's R.C. Collins.
All right. Buddy, you have no business in the United States military, period.
I'm in a military academy.
I don't care if you're in what military academy. To me, it's a wimpy military academy, and I doubt very seriously you would make it through basic training. The way you're talking, you are about an anti-American as an Iraqi. You're not willing to follow your commander-in-chief's orders.
Well, what about if he gives you an illegal order, like go kill a lady or something?
He wouldn't tell you to go kill a lady. There's a difference between attacking a country that is completely anti-American and is holding weapons of mass destruction.
He didn't prove that, though. He says that there is, but he don't prove it.
He doesn't have to prove it to you.
He doesn't have to prove it to any of our United States soldiers. They are on standby and ready to go on his order. That's the deal when you join the military.
But that's the whole thing about being in a military academy. I'm being trained to be an elite troop.
No, you're being trained to be a pencil pusher and sit behind a desk, okay? That's the bottom line. That's all you want out of the military, and that's all you're going to get. I doubt very seriously you'd even make it through basic training.
Mr. Hendry, all they do in basic training is they run, they do a lot of push-ups,
and then they go eat.
You know what? They train you to be a killer in basic training. I went through basic training. I put in 2 years in the United States Army, and I'm very proud of it, and I was ready to go trigger happy any time I was given the order.
I'm ready to. I can eat my own guts. I'm psycho.
You sound psycho.
Hey.
You sound psycho. You're ready to eat your own guts, but you're not ready to follow the President of the United States order.
Did you ever put the camouflage stuff on your face?
Jesus.
Let me hear your war cry.
50 different times.
Do you want to hear my war cry?
No, I don't care to hear your war cry. We don't need a mating call of any moose or anything like that around here. Okay?
Sir, I'm in.
Buddy, look, you have no business in the United States military. Phil Hendry, I love your show.
Thank you very much, sir. Thank you, sir.
Did he hang up?
Yeah, he hung up.
You gotta hear my war cry.
Look, kid.
Please!
Your war cry, huh?
Yeah.
Where'd you learn that word?
On the movie Full Jacket.
Full Metal Jacket.
Yeah.
All right, do your war cry. Oh, that scares me to death, man.
Yeah, you'll see when the Iraqis hear it.
Your war cry. Well, let me quote the movie. You don't scare me. Work on it. Bye. 1-800-449-8686. Phil Hendry Show.
1-800-449-8686. The world famous Phil Hendry Show.
The Phil Hendry Show is back. 1-800-449-8686.
Big news today. I don't know if you're aware of this, but Strom Thurmond is 100. At least they tell me it's big news. 100 years old, this guy is. He was a senator, or is, or was, or maybe he just got newly elected. What if they elected a 100-year-old guy? All right, Strom, way to do it. You've made it. Don't try to talk. Fantastic. Strom is going to go in there. He'll be kicking ass. What's the first thing you're going to do? I love it. All right. But I'm going to say this. I was looking at this cat. He's 100, and he's in a wheelchair. He's been living for the last 2 years at the Walter Reed Army Medical Center. I got a mother who is 89, and she's at a place that we pay for, and she goes in the morning to her little activities, and then she has her lunch, and she has her friends, and it's a very pleasant, wonderful place. And we pay for her to be there, and that's cool, you know? That's cool. And my mom's probably going to live a long time, because she's just got, there's some really good genes going on there. She's also very mentally alert, but she's got Parkinson's, so she's got to sit in a wheelchair. But occasionally I see people who are so old, they're in a bed, and they got a tube going in, and it could be any day now. But sometimes they live forever. I just don't know what's the big problem with, if you're crapping down your pants and you can't see and you're bumping into walls and you're just listening to one side in a chair all day. Why can't you say, "I'm done, game over, I want out"? These people that have. It's one of the dopiest conversations I've ever heard in my life when I listen to these cats with Adat Kevorkian, and he's a real jackass, and we have a respect for life. That's not a respect for life. You got to be dreaming, man. I go down there every couple of weeks to see my mother. There ain't people down there. I see some people down there that I'm sure they would have liked to pull the plug a long time ago if somebody gave them the option. Oh, that's bad? Why? Because we're going to go to hell? How do you know? If you kill yourself, God doesn't like that. He'll go to hell. I see. What God wants me to do is just to sit all day long in a chair listening to one side in my own urine. Great. Thank you, God. Thanks so very much for this wonderful life that I have to sit in my own pee, and you won't even let me pull the plug on the wall behind me. Thank you, God. Appreciate that, man. And you're the big man. I can't do anything about it.
That's right. I'm God.
Yeah. You're God. You're going to tell me how to do it. Oh, man, would I like to. No wonder people get pissed at God. Don't get pissed at him. Get pissed at the guy that made the rule. Anyway, Strom Thurmond is 100 years old, and he's just looking fantastic. They had him there in front of the Congress. Would you like to say something, Strom? That's good. He's still vibrant, and he'll be at the next session. We've got a great bill. Let me read this.
Can someone retype this? I don't even think he did it with crayon. Phil Henry Show.
1-800-449-8686. The world-famous Phil Henry Show.